All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
People say ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing. If I can't get it on my own, if you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
Yep. 3, 2, 1. Cue the Pornhub music. Welcome to Podunk Perspective. We are here with Josh Terry and Seth Bazemore from Yonder Hat Co. How we doing, guys?
I'm good, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, no problem. We got some Georgia boys in the house. How'd y'all meet?
Avery.
Old Big Velvet.
God, shout out to Avery playing the rhyming this week with Cole and all the boys, Casey Yarbrough and all them. Yeah, Avery told me about Seth probably 2 years ago. You've been sponsoring my podcast for probably about that long now.
Yeah, and March 22 or 23.
Dude, he's just one of those guys that when he started coming around. I don't have like friends, like, cause I'm kind of a cunt. That if you like me, you love me, and that's just how Seth was. Like, I got around him, and he just came family quick. And I love the dude. He's always just been there. We have fun. He fell asleep at a bar one night, and ever since then, I was like, this is my guy.
Which bar was it?
AJ's. Didn't I mean you've done it multiple?
Oh yeah. No, that wasn't like Roberts, falling asleep. No, like, that was like passed out.
Yeah, he passed out. Like the devil got a hold of him.
Like two beers in, someone was in my drink.
The devil came up from Georgia.
Apparently, I don't know what it was, but he died, and I was there to catch him. I love. Yeah, he's like, he's done. It was great. Then the bouncer was like, he's too drunk. He's got to go home. And I was like, dude, he just started drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, something was in that beer.
It was scary. It's actually like
we were mid conversation.
Well, there's rumors that, you know, some drugs go around Broadway, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or not.
And STDs, they're very rampant down there. Rapid. You can tell I had a long night last night. I'm starting off with STD jokes. I hate coming to that show just because my brain is fried already. How'd you start this, by the way?
So, honestly, man, I came up with the idea just because I was sick of going out to a bar 24/7 and making connections where I can invite people over to my space and, you know, let's drink and, you know, bring the conversation to life, you know?
I get that.
And, So, you said you had your own podcast, Josh, obviously. You have your own Writers Round here in Nashville, you host. How'd you get into the podcast and the Writers Round scene?
I worked in country music, radio for a while.
Georgia radio station?
Yeah, I had a very successful show. I had the number one morning talk show in the state of Georgia for a while. During COVID, I said some shit that got me fired. But not even the stuff you think it would be either. Yeah. It just, I was one of those folks, I don't know if you know what you get in country radio or just any radio, but you get prep sheets. Mm-hmm. I refuse to use prep sheets. Yeah. Okay, that's not what Howard Stern, who's one of my heroes, would use. That's not what anybody like that use. Like, anybody can go and use prep sheets. That's unoriginal.
Yeah.
That's like when you see somebody on, we'll just use TikTok or whatever, that just does trends. You're not being original, right? You're just taking something that somebody else has done, repackaging it, and whatever. You can get popular off of it, but you're not being original. So I would come up with my own stuff. Talk about my own topics. I would do that, whatever, and say some shit that people didn't like. The people I worked for didn't like, and Anyway, I got fired. When I got fired, it was on my birthday, of all things.
Damn.
And I took it very, very hard. I ended up at a poker room in Jacksonville, Florida. I was playing at in a tournament to drown my sorrows. And I ended up across the table from a guy with iHeartRadio. And it's this crazy, like, God moment. And the dude he didn't tell me he was with iHeartRadio or nothing, right? We played for several hours or whatever, and he let me just run my mouth and drown my sorrows in his ear and all this kind of shit. And he was like, well, what's your next move or whatever? And I was like, well, I guess I'm fixing to apply in some bigger markets and everything. Like, I already got the resume. Like, I know somebody will hire me. And he's like, man, you need to look into doing podcasts. He said, terrestrial radio is dead. There's no money in it. Plus, if you got in trouble in this market, in the way that this environment is now with everybody so sensitive, you're going to get fired again.
Yeah.
He's like, if you're good at what you do, take it somewhere else. And I took it to heart. And then I started thinking about it while I was sitting there. And by the time we got done and got up, he was like, and by the way, here's my number. I'm with iHeartRadio. If you start this, I'll put you on some playlists right out the gate. And I kid you not, I opened up Raising Grace Studio within a month. And I couldn't tell you the guy's name now. I don't remember it. And we've only had two conversations ever. But I called him or texted him about a month later and said, hey, I'm doing this. He said, well, send me the information and all that kind of stuff. And sure enough, right out the gate, I got on iHeartRadio's playlist.
Yeah.
So, like, my first show I ever put out got 10,000 listens and streams right out the gate.
That's awesome.
And I was like, oh, shit. Well, first off, I thought 10,000 was low because I was on a 100,000-watt station in Georgia, right? So I was like, shit, 10,000 listeners? Like, this is shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, I looked up what percentage or whatever listeners are, like, what it was like for podcasts or whatever. And it was like, if you got 700 listens on a podcast, that's considered successful. And I was like, fuck, I got 10,000 on my first one. I was like, what the fuck did I just step in, right? And I didn't have like what you would call like a successful social media either at all. Like, I might have had 1,000 followers on Instagram. I didn't have TikTok yet. I didn't have, my Facebook was just friends. Like, might have had 1,000 followers on that or whatever. So I was like, shit, I got to do marketing and everything now. So I'm just going to, I'm creative. So let's just do some fun shit. And I started pushing all that.
Yeah.
And that's really how we got here.
How far were you into doing the podcast where the writer's round started?
Probably about 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years. While I was coming up here, and I knew that I wanted country music to be part of it. Because I already had so many friends from me working in country radio that were wanting to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask to do a writer's round. I'm probably the only person that has a writer's round that didn't want to do a writer's round. Shout out to Hasten and Dave and everybody at Live Out, Janelle. Y'all guys have been absolutely amazing to me. Vaden Willis introduced me to Hasten over at Live Out one day. And we got to bullshitting and talking and obviously drinking way too much. And they were like, why don't you do the podcast here? So the first show that I ever did over there was at 11 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And all it was us sitting on stage bullshitting for 4 hours, getting blacked out drunk. I don't know if you've ever been to a bar at 11 o'clock.
Especially the old Live Oak.
Yes. I mean,
that place was just, it's different.
Yeah, that place, I love the new one too, but the old one was just, it was crazy. But if you walked in that son of a bitch at 11 o'clock in the morning, crickets.
Yep.
Crickets, son. On a Wednesday, nothing.
Oh, yeah.
So every word that we heard, that you heard walking down that street, it was F this, F that, whatever. Like, but it was a good time. But what I would do is I would get my buddies to come up and play, and we would record it, because that's what we were doing at Airbnbs before that, is we would just fill a house with 15, 20 people sitting around drinking bullshit and just getting hammered and just putting it out on the podcast, and they were great episodes. God, there were some of the funnest episodes I've ever done. And people loved them. So we tried to take that and put it on at Live Oak. Well, it didn't work. It wasn't bad now. Like, they were fun as hell. But business-wise, it doesn't work. You're in a public place. And by the way, Live Oak never said that we couldn't drop F-bombs or nothing like that. The content wasn't bad. There was nobody telling super dirty stories, nobody being inappropriate. It's just, this is a business. Yeah. What I'm doing is a business. Like, you have to run it like a business. You have to think of it like that. And it, that just didn't work. I wanted it to be successful. I don't want to be Whiskey Jam.
Yeah.
But I want to be successful like Whiskey Jam.
Yeah.
Ward does an amazing job what he does. Ray's Rowdy does an amazing job what they do. But I want to be different.
You have a different brand, personality.
But equally successful, right? Yeah. And so, like, I was like, we got to grow. We got to do something different. So we went, we got better. We went from 11, or 11 to 2 to, what, 2 to 5? That's probably when about you came on.
5 or 6, yeah. That's
when you started. And then Hasten was like, look, this is getting too big. Like, you got to, we got to change this. So it's like, look, instead of you just doing that and just doing the podcast the way you're doing it, why don't you do a writer's round, man? And he's like, if you do a writer's round, I'll give you an extra 2 hours, and you can do 2 hours of the podcast to start off with, and then a 4 hours writer's round. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Let's try that. So the first one that we did, we went from 5 to 11, 2 hour podcast, 4 hour round. And it was fire. I don't even remember who was on that first one. But if I was to go back and look at like the first round, everybody wanted to play it.
Yeah.
Like I think Bobby Pinson probably was on the first one. It seems like he might have been, and I think he might have helped me put it together. Yeah. But I'm telling you, that first line was stacked.
So was that easy for you, you know, starting a writer's round, like getting the artists to come on and join into that whole thing?
Yeah, I think I'm one of the fortunate ones. It's never been hard for me to put together the artists to play. I'm very picky about who I allow to play my shows.
Absolutely.
And I think because I'm picky about who I allow to play them, a lot of artists want to work with me.
Yep.
I used to say, like, I'm not letting this shit on my show. Like, but now I understand, like, everybody, there's just a different cup of tea for everybody.
Yep.
Like, and I think I stick on brand.
Yep.
Like, people used to message me all the time, and now they've learned. I think I've said it publicly enough that, hey, look, there's a show for you. Like, if you're doing some poppy stuff or you're doing something that's Swifty, well, say something like that, you probably know that, you know, we're not for you. If you're doing, like, some deep, emotional, sad girl, real depthy shit.
Yep.
I got a house for you.
Yeah.
I got a home for you. If you want to be respected for something, like, you want to tell a sad story, or you want to get up there. Because, like, one thing that I do that you might find one or two other rounds that do it, that really will do it. Seth has seen this. You've been in my rounds. You've probably seen me do it. I've told people to shut the hell up before.
Yep, absolutely.
If somebody's out there telling a story, I'll give you a good example of this. Hunter Mounts was on stage one time. This is at the old Live Oak. Hunter Mounts was up there on stage. I was sitting next to him. This is back when we did the old format. But it's a song about this kid that he went to school with that passed away. And I think he was a rodeo clown or whatever. Something like it's very sentimental, whatever.
Absolutely.
And there was these two Broadway girls. I'll call them that to be nice. Yeah, that were sitting there, and they wouldn't shut up. They were laughing. They were giggling or whatever. And they would not shut up. Yeah. And I happened to have some lemons from my tequila that were right here in front of me. And I threw one at them, and they were like, what? And I think they thought I was being nice the first time, like I was trying to be flirty or some shit. And then they went back to talking, picked the second one up, and threw and hit him in the fucking forehead with it. And they were like, what? And I was like, what's your problem? And I said, and he hadn't started singing yet. And I said, excuse me, he's telling a very heartfelt story right now that could mean a lot to somebody and help them. Can you please shut the hell up?
Yeah.
And they were like, whatever. Play Friends in Low Places. I was like, oh, you can go to hell. Leave.
And when, that's wild.
And when you hear like me do stuff like that, and there's an artist like in the background, like I've had bigger artists that you don't know that are in there,
yeah,
that have came up to me, and they've been like, man, I appreciate that shit. Yep. Like, thank you.
You have to, because it's off Broadway for a reason, right? It's called the Writers' Room for a reason, and especially, I mean, the people that you get in, they just have some crazy songs, crazy stories to tell. For a reason, you know, and it's like, get the hell out if you ain't here to listen.
Yeah. Well, there just needs to be, like, I believe in country music. Yeah, that's absolutely. That's the thing. And it's not, there's a place and time for happy, upbeat, fun, drinking, partying music. There is. And I enjoy that. I really do. If I want to tie one on, I want to go two-step and have a damn good time, I'll take my happy ass down to Broadway.
Absolutely.
Me and Seth have been there several times and had a damn good time. Yeah.
Seth loves Broadway. But I feel like he's down there.
If I walk into a writer's round, I'm going to show some respect to the person. And even like this, there's levels of it too. If you're next to the stage, you should know to shut up.
Yep.
If you're back by the bar, you talk, have a good time. Yeah, I mean, it's not confusing.
Yeah.
It's just some people are oblivious and they just don't know what's going on in the world outside their own ass.
Yeah.
And that bothers me.
Yeah. Well, and the sad part is, right, there's a song is usually around 2 to 5 minutes. And if you can't shut up for that amount of time and sip on your drink, come on.
Yeah. I get myself in trouble. And luckily, Live Oak doesn't mind. Yeah. Like, I don't think that there's many bars that would mind. Because it's not like I go completely overboard. Now, like, there was a bar like a month or two ago that was in front of Seth's table. And I ran them off pretty much. But one of my favorite artists who has an album that's coming out, by the way, and I'm just going to plug it for him right now. Brett Shirokey has an album coming out at the end of this month. Brett Shirokey is one of my favorite artists.
Yep.
I think he is amazing. But he was up there fixing to sing a song about his dad who passed away. And I don't remember if his dad was young when he passed away or whatever it was. But it is an amazing song. And this table of basic women would not shut up. And I was like, excuse me, please shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I had to do it 2 or 3 times to where I ended up, I do this kindergarten voice. And I'm good and drunk.
1, 2, 3, look at me.
Like it's I get bad. And like at the top of my, like our ads and everything that are on the screens, it says recording in progress. I made them recite it with me. I said, recording in progress. And I was like, please shut up. And they paid their tab and left. Now, most bars would have been like, there's 10 people sitting here.
Yeah.
But everybody that was working there that was like, we don't care. You'll get 10 more people coming in just because you ran them off.
Shit. And I feel like that's what I find very cool about Live Oak in general. I feel like it's the personality of Nashville. I feel like you kind of have that personality of Nashville. You know, it's like, hey, you're in Nashville. Listen to what people got to share, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just partying. It's not just bachelorette parties like everyone thinks, you know? There's so much more to Nashville than just that.
There is, man. And I was like, it's still country music to me. Like, this isn't just, I argue people about this shit all the time, where I'm from, right? Because I still love traditional old country, and that's still here. Like, that vibe, that mentality is still here. It's not just skyscrapers. Yep. It's not just, you know, new age shit. Like, it's not just the glitz and glamour. It's still sawdust floors and swinging doors. Like, but it's, I mean, just because it doesn't look the way it did back in the 60s and 70s, it doesn't mean that it's not still here. I mean, it's, but if you don't have the mentality, like, there's this, there might not be cowboys everywhere anymore, but you can still have the mentality.
Yeah, well, and this is kind of what I describe Nashville now is, like, you know, those true cowboys out in wherever it's Texas, Wyoming, or whatever, this is where they come to party and have a good time, enjoy themselves, you know? And those people get annoyed with the bachelorette parties and stuff just as much as, you know, your locals or the people that come and really enjoy Nashville just as much.
Well, it's about the manners, dude. Like, it's like I said, it's manners, it's mentality. It's some people know how to act, some people don't. Yep. It's respect, dude. Like, it's just Some people just don't get it. And the people that do, you tell real quick, and the people you don't, you can tell quicker.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I feel like the thing too is like, you go in a place like Live Oak, and like, I mean, I know we recommended it work all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, you never know who you're going to see. Yeah. And it's like, just this past weekend, like, here we are watching Zach Top at the Ryman. And I remember one weekend you were in town, and we all went out to Live Oak, and shout out Dave McMahon was like, hey man, there's this kid coming up, blowing up on TikTok. Let's go check him out. Damn, Zach Top.
Is that?
And so it's like, you go in these bars, you look for a party everywhere, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny, you mentioned like, it might not be the same back it was at the end of the day. Well, you know, people got to hear Cole Goodwin and Jake Worthington and Zach Top. The stuff's coming back and it's going to radio and people are going to hear it whether they like it or not.
Well, right. they're gonna have to like it now because it's a wave. Like,
oh, it's full force.
It's every 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is, there's a change in it. Like, you're not going to hear Bro Country anymore right now. No. Like, that's not. Zach Top is showing him, Jake, everybody is showing Cole, especially I Love You, Cole. They're showing people that people want traditional country again.
Yep.
And that's what's going to come around. Now, there's still a place for badasses like Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen and Hardy and all that shit. But there's definitely a place. I mean, the fact that people have been starving for traditional country and folks have, I think what has actually happened with it, and I'm not going to, you know, toot my own horn here, but I've been saying it for a long time. The fact that the way that they have blown up, it just speaks to what I've been saying forever, that if somebody would have gave that a chance, somebody would have actually put it out that was as good as them, that it would have blown up the way that it did.
Yep.
Because people have been starving for it. If you're not going to be able to get enough of it right now. But this is what everybody's fixing to do it.
Yep.
Like, there's not going to be anybody around here. That just means that it's going to be saturated now.
If people are sick and tired of like the fantasy land and bullshit of songwriting and music where they want real stuff. Mm-hmm. They want stuff that's going to either hit you or something that's going to make you feel electric, you know?
Well, I think that for so long now, and I'm not going to go deep into this because I would on my show, but I'm not going to do it on yours.
It's okay.
You live in Nashville, so I'm not going to do this. I'm only here as a guest. But like, people don't like to get fed a shit sandwich and told that it's peanut butter. Okay? So like, I don't think that like Shaboozy's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't. Tell me it's fucking country music.
Yeah.
There's a place for it and it's good. Like, it's definitely good. Like, but the fact that one of my real good friends, and he knows him with me, is Will Mosley. The fact that Will Mosley got cut out of having a number one song, Good Book, last year because of Shaboozy. With a song that's not a country song, and that would have been that boy's first number one with a song that is a song that's really talking about God and country music, that is going to piss me off forever.
Like, and absolutely, you're so right. There is a place for the Shaboozy type music, but don't be handing out awards to, you know, those type of people when it's not the true roots of country music of what that storytelling and that old, you know, country sound sounds like. It's not the same.
Yeah, and that's and that's not me being like an old bitter bastard or what. Like, I would have said the same shit about Florida Georgia Line. Like, it's just not it's not country.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that it's bad.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not bad. Yeah. Every time that stupid ass Shaboozy song comes on, or even Walker Hayes. Is it Walker Hayes? The one's got the Applebee song?
Yeah.
Yeah, like even that. Like, they're not bad songs.
No, not at all.
If you put that on pop radio, I got it on pop radio, I'm probably not gonna turn it. Like, if that's the mood I'm in that day, I'm gonna listen to it.
And that's kind of my argument with it, you know, is, you know, country's everything right now. You have country rock, country pop, all this. But, you know, put it in reverse and say you have pop country and you have rock country, you should be handing out to those people and those, you know, if it's a rock award and that rock country song is killing it in a rock genre, give it to that country rock song and that rock genre award.
I said this to somebody the other day. You let Hardy or you let Morgan Wallen or even like somebody like Lakeview, because I really like Lakeview.
Yep, Lakeview's great.
You let them put a fast beat on one of their songs and speed their songs up to where it's like a rap beat or an R&B beat, and them get put into an R&B category to where they win a R&B or pop award.
Yeah.
On a major network. I mean,
Morgan Wallen should have had
it. Yeah, you let them win that, and there'll be an outrage over it because of it. But if you do that in reverse, people are like, oh, this is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's reverse, they'll be like, Morgan Wallen, he should have never fucking won that award. And then like, you stupid bitch. Hush. Yeah. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. It's just
makes no sense.
Yeah, it's definitely an easy concept of like what fans really want is they want pop artists to win country awards and they want country artists to win, you know, your Grammys and your, you know, whatever else it is.
Yeah, and it's like the thing with Beyonce. I'm a huge Beyonce fan. Mm-hmm. I think she has one of the best voices of all time.
Yeah.
I'm like, my favorite artist of all time is Keith Whitley, but my favorite voice of all time is Aretha Franklin. And Beyonce's right up there in favorite voices. I think she can sing like an angel. That album she puts out, or put out, the country album, air quotes, is trash.
Yep.
What I would have loved to hear her do was a country album.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if she'd have done a country album, like some Carrie Underwood ballads, I would have still been listening to that shit.
Yeah.
I would have rocked that shit. So, like, back in the day, I don't know if y'all know this, it was very popular for R&B artists to do country albums. Ray Charles has some amazing country songs.
Montgomery Gentry, they were basically raised on R&B and stuff. Like, to, I mean,
Seven Spanish Angels?
Yep.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Come on. I mean, there's R&B artists forever that have done songs that were... that did country songs that were amazing. That's what I think everybody wanted Beyonce to do, or anybody. Yeah. Look at Post Malone, that album he came out with. Mm-hmm. That shit's fire.
It's good.
Yeah.
He didn't try to do anything besides doing country music.
Yeah. Well, and I think the cool part that no one really will admit, or the underlying factor, is Beyonce's album was great. Post Malone album was great, but no one gives a shit. Everyone else is more worried about these other country artists that are coming up. Your Zach Topps, your Hudson Westbrook, your Ty Myers, you know. Those are your guys on TikTok and stuff that are really popping off and that, you know, are sounding different, you know, whether it's a pop country sound or a John Mayer country sound like Ty Myers has, or Hudson Westbrook, he kind of has that Parker McCollum sound.
I don't know
sound.
Who that is. Who's that?
He's been popping off on TikTok. So there's Ty Myers and Hudson Westbrook.
I know who that guy is.
Yeah, they both been kind of coming up and popping off, but both young dudes, and they're just killing it. And it's like, these are what the fans want. And I always find it kind of sad with country and country radio that they're always a little behind when it comes to putting songs on and putting new artists on, where in rap or R&B, it's instant, right? Drake puts out a new song, it's on radio the next day.
Well, that's because country has these things in radio. I have the inside track, I know this. And I hate it because I used to think that way. I used to didn't understand it. So you have music consultants. As a rate, like, this is another reason why I would get in trouble in radio. Because I wouldn't do that. If I heard something, I'd put that shit on.
As it should be. That's right. That's what the fans want.
It is. But most radio show hosts don't care.
Yep.
They're there to do the prep sheets. They're there to hit play on the log and just let it ride. So a music consultant puts the log together.
Yep.
That's all it is. Somebody in Nashville or wherever, just putting the thing together, mostly Nashville, will put a log together for somebody. That log gets sent to those stations all over the country. So that one person who is paid by the labels to put those songs on, you can buy a number one.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so stupid how it works. Have you ever heard a song and you was like, how in the hell is that in the top 20, but this other one isn't?
Yeah. Or just the amount of times it's played.
Somebody paid for it.
You know.
But also, too, why things are changing now, though, is because of social media.
Yep.
That's why you cannot deny a Zach Top anymore. To where, like, Tyler Childers. If Tyler Childers would have came along right now.
Yep.
And not 10 years ago. Tyler Childers with White House Road.
Yeah.
Would have blown up 10,000 times more.
Yeah. So now, right. It's like, crazy.
Yeah. It's, it almost worked against these guys.
Yes.
That they came along. Well, they a couple
started
years before.
Like they started something that now this younger generation is lucky they get to hop on and kind of finish or add to, you know.
Yeah. It's it's only going to, like, it's almost took it out. I love that it's being took away.
Yeah.
Like, it's, they're really breaking it now. Like, it's where. You don't need it no more. Like, that's why I love this part. Like, the independent artist doesn't need it anymore.
No. No. There's enough people out there that are willing to help you out that get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The industry sucks, you know, or not necessarily sucks, but just there's people in the industry that will take a lot from you.
It's greed. Mm-hmm. It's now people are figuring out if you put the work in yourself, what you used to have to pay somebody so much money for. You can do yourself, like with me, you got a podcast now, but with me, I could have paid somebody to do my marketing, to do whatever, all this kind of shit for me. Now, if I'd have paid them to do it for me, I probably would have got to where I'm at now, years before now. I would have sped up the process, but I don't owe nobody shit.
Nope, no.
Like, I did it myself. Like, I could have bought followers, I could have promoted videos, I could have paid for all this shit. I don't do. Like, it took longer, but I worked with good people and everything now to where, like, today we got, like, some big news before I got here about guests coming up on the show. And it's like, shit, it took 4 or 5 years, but here we go. Like, let's go.
And it's a lot more personable that way, too. Yeah. Like, look at the team you've got around you, the support system. Just makes it better.
Well, the way I look at it, too, is like this. It's anybody that you work with that had to earn where they're at, they're going to respect you more because you had to earn where you're at.
They get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
or somewhat, at least.
Yeah, if you're going to sit down with somebody and they got it like that, it's also it's easy come, easy go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that I've seen, and I still catch shit for this all the time. You were talking about the guys that was blowing up on TikTok and everything or whatever. I have a fear for them. I'm scared for them because some of them haven't had to grind.
Yeah, absolutely.
The people that haven't had to grind haven't had to fail.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have had to fail, that have had to bust their ass. Yeah. And if you don't fail some, you've never been hit with adversity. Yeah. And if you haven't been hit with adversity, you don't know how to come back from adversity. And that will kill you the first time. You get knocked down.
Yep.
Because you don't know how to get fucked back up.
Yeah.
You don't. And that will eat you alive. Some of these guys, I've seen people that have posted videos on social media and their songs blow up. Songs blow up. Song blow up. And then they get one that doesn't. And it doesn't chart. And nobody likes it. And you don't hear nothing from them again.
Yeah.
Then nothing happens. And they're like, why? I suck now. And it's like, do you know how many times Luke Combs probably put out a song? And nobody liked it.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, next one.
Next one.
Next one.
Next one.
It happens.
How many times Beard Never Broke My Heart play on the radio where it was a good song, but it got played so many times, people were like, oh, shit, I'm tired of hearing this, you know?
You have to fail.
Yeah.
If you didn't know how bad it sucked to lose, you don't know how good it feels to win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you got to do that shit.
So Bazemore over here, I want to get to you for a second. You have a hat company, Down Yonder Hat Co. How'd you start that and when?
Official hat of the Josh Terry Podcast, by the way.
Official hat. Yeah. DYH.
Ball cap. Superior Hat Co. also with cowboy hats.
Absolutely. Got to give Mike Reif some love.
So how'd you start it?
Just honestly, just started as making a hat for myself. Looking in my closet one day, I'm like, I've got... If you look in there, there's probably 50 ball caps at any given moment. And I don't get rid of any and I need to, but was just like, man, it'd be really cool to have something like I made. And just started spitballing ideas and playing around with wordage. And I think I actually was driving knows where.
Were you drinking or driving?
Just driving that time.
Got it.
But that's a joke.
I drink and drive. It's all right.
Yeah, there you go.
Dirt roads.
that's the way to go. But yeah, I think it was actually a Morgan Wallen song happened to be on, and he mentioned like coming from down yonder, and I'm like, that's kind of catchy, you know.
Yeah,
we've got all the family in South Georgia, and like looked it up, and nothing existed. And then at the time, my roommate was photographer, graphic design. Went to him with the idea and was like, hey, can you piece something together? And probably 2 or 3 days later, came back with the logo that's on your hat. And I was like, oh shit, it's actually pretty cool. I was like, started wearing it around town, went down to Lids, made a single hat up, and was wearing around Broadway actually. The summer that we pieced it together, and had probably like 4 or 5 people in a night being like, yo, where's that cap from? Can I buy it off you? And I actually sold the original one.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
For $50 off my head at Whiskey Row. And then ordered a bunch of blank hats, went back to the Lids probably a week later when they came in. The guy was like, oh, you're back. And I'm like, yeah, we're running this. And then took off from there.
Who were some of the bigger artists that you've had in your hat or seen in your hat possibly?
That I've actually seen. Probably the biggest would be Cameron Marlowe.
Awesome.
Shout out to Avery again. He's kind of the plug. Every year he goes out on farm tour with the Peach Pickers. So he's out on the road with Luke Bryan. And that was year 2, I believe. Sent a care package out with him. He got them to all the guys. I think he's gotten one supposedly to Riley Green. Dallas Davidson with the Peach Pickers has one. Got some photos of him. That was pretty cool. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, seeing Cameron in that was kind of a surreal moment.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you can obviously go to Josh's Round and you got a table set up selling hats and stuff. So
yeah,
check you out there. But you got a website as well too, Instagram.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Down Yonder Hat Co. on pretty much everything. TikTok, Instagram, that's the website. Yeah.
Love it. What year did you start Down Yonder?
That was in 22. It was like summer of 22. Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Great. Josh, is he a good sponsor?
He pays on time. No, he's good, dude. Like, I'm picky about my sponsors.
Yep.
So, like, the people I work with, there's a lot of people that want to be a part of what we do because where it's ranked at and everything. And it's like brand recognition for them. They don't even want shit from me. Like, they just want to be able to say, with us being in the top 1% in the world and all that kind of shit, that, hey, we're involved. Like, and it's, for me, I've busted my ass to get to where I'm at. There's people like him to where, like, this will be the first year to where he's paid his dues to where we're, like, backing off on some shit with him. To where it's family for me, like I said earlier. It's the money doesn't matter, really.
Yep.
It's you've done what we needed you to do to help us get to where we want to be. Yeah. And he's always been there. He's always done what we needed. He took care.
He fits the Josh Terry brand.
Yeah, he does. It's like even it's the little shit for me too. Like there's a kid. There's been kids that play my show. So I think I'm one in a few rounds. If I don't think I'm the only one. But I think I'm one of the few that, like, I make it to where I want to bring up people that probably don't get a chance to play in Nashville.
Yeah.
That's one of my goals, like, to do stuff like that. And every time, man, like, Seth, without me saying shit to him, I'll look over there and, like, he'll give a kid a hat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, that shit means something to me.
Yeah.
Like, he'll just – that's what – our stuff stands for.
Yeah.
Raising Grace Rounds, like our studio is named Raising Grace Studios, but it stands for somewhere between Raising Hell and Amazing Grace.
Yep.
But it's also my daughter's name, Gracie, so it's like a play on words, Raising Grace. And like it's, he does what you're supposed to. Like he's on brand with me. So Down Yonder and Seth is exactly what it's supposed to be, like to be connected with us. And all of our sponsors are. So he does what he's supposed to. So I couldn't ask for better. That's why I wanted him to do this with me.
Yes. Because
I can't get him to do a fucking show with me. And since y'all work
together,
I was like, you don't have a fucking choice. Now you have to.
I think he's scared
of my guests.
Nah. Yeah. You talk about having the future country music being alive and well, seeing Miles and is it Michael
Shaw? Yeah,
Michael.
I was just about to hit on that.
They're so good.
So, Josh, you were just talking about having a kid on your show. You have him on pretty frequently. For people that don't know, it's hard to get anyone under the age of, 21 into a bar here in Nashville, whether you're 18 or 21. It's hard to get in, you have Miles come in with his dad and stuff. Yeah. Kind of explain his scenario and how you got to in connection with Miles.
I got tagged in a bunch of his videos. So like this is 2 years ago at least. This kid's family to me now. He's just such a good kid. Somebody tagged me in one of his videos. So he played a song at his middle school or elementary school. I always tell the story wrong. I think it's elementary school. Talent show. And it was way more blues. And it wasn't like a lot of hate or anything that the kid was getting. But if you've heard him, he's an 80-year-old man in an 11-year-old's body.
Yeah.
Like he really is. And he can already pick better than 90% of the people in town. And anyway, so like I'm tenderhearted about that shit. The people that were talking shit, like in his comment section, and the kids or whatever. I was like, these kids don't even know what the fuck they're saying. Like, these kids don't realize what they're looking at. Like, this kid, by the time he's 21 years old or 18, is going to be able to play for anybody that he wants to. He's going to be more successful than any one of these kids that is picking on him in this comment section.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to him and his family. And I was like, hey, I do this show in Nashville. I would love to surprise the shit out of everybody in this bar. And I would love to end the show with me telling a little bit of this story.
That's so badass.
And have you play at the very end of the night. And I thought he thought I was full of shit to start off with. And him and his family came. Priscilla Block was there that night. I think he was blown away when he saw her. And I don't really know Priscilla. She was there with some people that... I know of, we kind of know each other, don't know her good, so I don't want it to look like I'm name dropping, like I'm buddies with her. I remember him hugging her and him like being blown away when he saw her. That was cute. But then nobody knew about it. And we had a packed house that night too. And I told the story at the end of the night, and he got on stage. And it was, y'all been to concerts when everybody turns the lights on?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking the old Live Oak. There was everybody. Flooded up to the stage and was recording this kid. And it's probably my favorite moment that I've ever had in Live Oak. It was so cool. And ever since then, him and his family have become family to me.
Yeah.
Like, they're just the best. He's played on Bridgestone with Billy Strings. Keith,
I think twice now.
Yeah, who's been out with? He's been out with... Kenny Chesney's had him up, like everybody. But it's everybody remembers what it was like. All these artists remember what it was like as a kid. And having that passion or having that thing in them that they wanted to do, but they're like, I can't do this because everybody's going to pick on me. Like, even me. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, I'm not musically talented. Good Lord knew not to give me that talent because I would have ruined myself. I would owe so much child support if I could do any of that shit. I would be a piece of shit. I would not know. I could not be musical talented at all. But everybody remembers what it was like being a kid and having a dream and knowing that, like, if I say this shit or I'm going to try to do this, like, everybody's going to pick on me.
Yeah.
And Miles is doing it.
Yeah.
And I love that it's shit. It's so cool. And I think all kids ought to, like, whatever it is, you ought to pursue it.
Especially with, like we said, like Zach Top and those guys coming up. He's going to look at those guys and be like, fuck yeah. Like, what I'm doing, like, I've been, like, it's right, Like, it's very cool to see, especially how young he is. And he's got a good little style to him. He comes in with some cowboy hats or some DYH hats on. And, he's doing it right.
That's another thing about him. Like I said, it's on brand with what we do because he doesn't have to And that Michael boy is the same way.
Yeah.
Michael, is it Scott?
I think Schott.
Schott, that's what it is, Michael Schott. Like, they post stuff for Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that anybody that has been with us have gave them anything.
Yep.
But that's any artist that we work with or anybody that's came in there. If that has been given to them boys or anybody, they post stuff for us.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what, because I'm all about, like, even me doing your show. Yep. Like, it's, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
Like, it's, you're supposed to, there's a big enough piece of the pie for everybody. I get ridiculously pissed off all the time when somebody's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you ask me to do something and, like, or I ask you to do something and, like, you blow me off because you're scared that it might take, like, some light off of you. Like, even if it's social media or whatever, or you're too stuck up your own ass to help somebody else because you think it might hurt your brand or whatever. And it's like, do you not realize how big this pie is?
Yeah, remember where you came from and where you started and how you were struggling, you know?
There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that is scared. If they help you, it's going to hurt them.
Yeah, you know, and that was one of my things in asking you to be on it is, you know, I felt like you were going to be one of those guys that wouldn't say no, obviously, but would also give me some advice on how to grow a brand that, you know, you've already started, you know. Yeah. And I do appreciate you taking the time and coming on today, like, well, seriously.
I feel like you have to. People did it for me. I mean, one of the first biggest guests I had on was Ginger Billy. And he gave me some great advice and stuff. And I feel like if somebody like that took their time with me before I was as relevant as I am now, it's like, that's what you're supposed to do, man. Yep. You're not supposed to keep that information. You're not supposed to hold that. Anybody that does that shit, you're a piece of shit.
Yep.
Like, it's not fair. It's, you, like, I got free education with this. You're not. That's stupid to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why would you keep it? If somebody gave it to you, you give it back. You pay it forward. It makes no sense. There's, the people that don't do it are so scared of somebody else succeeding. Well, I talked about this yesterday with me and Cornbread when we did the show. It's success to me isn't me being at the mountaintop by myself. That seems lonely.
Yep.
I don't want to be at the mountaintop by myself. I want everybody that I care about to be up there with me. In order for everybody to be up there with me, that means you have to succeed too.
Yep.
I mean, I can't just drag y'all all up there on my fucking coattails, or I can't go up with your coattails. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't just...
It takes effort from both parties, aligning. And...
So that means you have to tell me how to do better, and I got to tell you how to do better.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's people that keep that shit to themselves is stupid.
And putting egos aside, right? How many people can't take criticism or can't be told, hey, maybe your thinking isn't the best, you know? And then they just...
Well, I had to do it. Like, I had Raise Rowdy. I love them boys. I watch what they do. I've watched what other people have done. I've listened to people that are way bigger than I am in music. I'm not in music, but... I've seen what they've done professional-wise in the industry, and I've took their advice when I've done my shows at Live Oak, and that's why they are what they are now.
Yeah.
Bobby Pinson, that mean son of a bitch who I love to death. He is one of my favorite people that I've ever met in my life. He told me, he's like, when you got bigger artists on your show, you have to be on time, or you have to tell them in advance, we're not on time.
Yeah.
Because he showed up to one of my shows one time, and we were not on time. And luckily, it was him.
Yeah.
And he knows. He got to give me shit anyway. But, like, there's little things like that. Like, it's if you don't listen and you don't take advice, and you can't get butt hurt either once somebody criticizes you. Like, they're just wanting you to succeed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, when people stop giving you advice, start worrying.
Right. Like, yeah. No. You know, that makes a lot of sense.
That means you are... screwed.
So obviously Josh and you, Basemore, you guys are around some cool people. I just had a little Skinny on the show recently, and
I'm sorry. I was with him last night.
No, yeah, he's a good dude, and you know, he had some cool stories to tell and stuff, but
I bet he didn't name drop nobody at all.
No.
Well, I was just about to ask you. So, you know, Lil Skinny had a cool story to tell about Mr. John Daly. You're friends with John Daly.
Because of Skinny?
Yeah. How did that come along?
Skinny knows that I'm a golfer, yeah. a shitty golfer. He knew that I liked him. And I'd already said something to him before. I was like, Skinny, just whenever you get a chance, like, I don't fangirl. I've only fangirled twice up here. One, I about died when I met Vince Gill because I almost killed him at a golf course. And the other time was like when I was in Losers and John was there and Skinny was with him and Skinny introduced me to him and drank with him and hung out the rest of the night. But he's just they just say don't meet your heroes, but it doesn't apply to that dude. Like, yeah. he's everything that you've heard about him. He's just so nice.
Yeah.
He's so nice.
In a positive way.
Yeah, he's an animal.
Yeah.
Hey, in the best ways possible. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard a rumor, I'm not sure if it's true or not, but he was at one of your shows or something, and there's a possibility that the president might have hit him up or something at one of
Donald
your shows.
Trump FaceTimed him at my show. And yeah, I shit everywhere. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, that would, to me, I didn't know what to do.
Nope. Like, you can't.
He didn't talk to me. Like, I was at the other side of the room and John got up and walked out. And when he came back, John just very loudly was like, yeah, I was talking to Trump. And I was like, what the fuck did he say? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, he just talked to the president at my show.
Yeah.
And that's what sat back down next to him. And then what was kind of cool, and I don't know who it was. So if you're hearing this, the person I'm going to tell a story about, you know, you can still go to hell. me and John sitting there, we're bullshitting and talking. And I don't know if you know this about me. I'm kind of a dickhead. A guy comes up, and a guy tries to give him a shot of tequila. And John's like, no. And the dude would not leave him alone.
Yeah.
He was just aggravating and shit about it. Yeah. And so it got to the point to where, like, and John was super nice about it, too, about whatever. John rotates all the way in his chair, starts listening to the artist on stage, and dude just will not back off. And finally, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I love John Daly. I'm fanboying still at this moment. I'm surprised, like, John just wants me to sit next to him. And I stand up, and I'm like, get in this guy's face. And I had this moment to where it's like, this is my round. They love me at Live
Oak. This is the Josh Terry round.
I can slap the shit out of this guy right here in this bar. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. I bet I can.
You're probably right, too. You're definitely
but then right. I had that other moment that I was like, this is my round. They love me here. I better not slap the shit out of this guy. But then I had one more moment. Where it's like, I bet John Daly will take me play golf tomorrow if I slap the shit out of this guy. Lucky for this guy, though. I didn't. But I got in his face pretty good. And I was like, let's leave him the fuck alone. He tried to take me outside. And luckily, he didn't realize for about the past 6 months I've been really working on myself. But if I'd been good and liquored up, boy. Anyway, but I was so surprised. I'm surprised how John acts.
Yep.
That he doesn't feed into it.
Yeah.
He lets people, like, everybody around him kind of absorb what you think he would.
Yep.
If that makes sense. Like, he has no ego.
Yep.
It's cooler for Skinny. Mm-hmm. It's cooler for anybody that's, because Skinny's way, way closer. Like, yeah. John probably don't remember my name.
Yeah.
Like, I've been around him 10 times maybe, and, like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, he'll recognize me probably. It ain't like he'd know me. But he's just, like I said, he's one of the coolest fucking people I've ever been around.
Yeah. That's really cool.
He's also the only person we have a joke if when we post stuff of him. Me and Walker Wilson, who I hate Walker Wilson right now. The reason why I have not moved from my bed today is because of Walker Wilson. We had way too much fun last night. We always say Sig's inside.
Yep.
They let John Daly, when they were the, he comes to the shows at Live Oak, they not only put a table for him next to the stage, they brought an ashtray. Well, I didn't know you could have ashtrays.
No.
Inside, no, anywhere, anymore. I didn't know that they had ashtrays anymore.
Yeah.
But they put an ashtray next to the stage. He's there. It's blowing smoke inside. I didn't, like, it was like, fuck state law. Like, or federal. I don't even know what law it is.
For some people, it doesn't apply, especially in
John
Nashville.
Daly can do whatever he wants.
When the president FaceTimes you at that same show.
That's what I was
saying. You're good to go, dude.
He literally has a worldwide pardon or a nationwide pardon. Right. He can smoke cigarettes where he wants to.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
Yeah.
That was cool as shit. So Sig's inside.
Sig's inside, man. Sig's inside. That's crazy.
Hell yeah. Somebody saw that on one of our posts the other day, and they were like, what the fuck is that?
Hey.
Sig's inside.
Well, yeah,
Sig's
we'll start inside. A new petition. I'm going to run to the restroom real quick, but I'm going to start a conversation with you two. Who's a bigger Georgia fan?
Oh. I'll be real with you. It's probably you.
It's probably me.
It's probably you. It's probably me. So growing up, I've switched teams several times. Growing up, I went to more Auburn games because of my best friend.
Well, that's the end of the discussion right there.
Yeah. my family was not football fans anyway.
Yeah.
My best friend, Cody Wiggins, he's an Auburn fan, and that's the games we always went to.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where it really goes off rails. I really like Steve Spurrier.
Oh, hell.
Like Steve Spurrier. I love everything about old ball coach. And then it rolled into Tebow right after that. Once Spurrier is gone.
Damn, Josh.
Love Spurrier. How can you not like Tebow? It's impossible not to like
Tebow. I can respect him now, but when he was at Florida, I hated the hell out of him.
I love Tebow. Well, you're going to hell. But then, as I got older, I started going to Georgia games. I was like, this is my home team. Like, this is the games I'm going to go to. This is where I want Gracie to like. It's where I want her to go to school. Like, and I got into it more. And I was like, you know what? I don't have a dog in this fight. Nobody that I went to school with plays for anybody anymore. This is where I want my daughter. You know, this is where we're going to go watch games at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're probably.
So you started rooting for them when they were winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bandwagon. Damn. I came back to a bandwagon conversation.
I'm all right.
Shit.
Also, I'll go ahead and tell you, this is 100% the truth to go on top of it. When you have a business in a state, you are stupid if you don't root for the college team in that state.
You're right.
Especially if you don't care. Like, I don't. Like, it's, I'm not even, like, going to fucking – only one I won't root for is I will not root for the Braves.
Yeah.
I don't really – like, I'm a Red Sox fan. But
– why?
Man, I grew up loving the Red Sox. It was that thing. It's me and my dad used to argue about this. The Red Sox, I love history of baseball anyway. And there was just something so majestic as a kid, like the history of them. And then in high school, when they finally won it in 04, like it was cool to me. Like it's the history of it to me.
Have you ever been to Fenway?
I have not. It's on my bucket list.
Check it out. It's definitely worth going.
That's 100%. that one's gonna be a meaningful one to me. That and Wrigley. I want to go to Wrigley really bad.
Yeah, that's next on my list. But yeah, Fenway was a big time bucket list ballpark.
I could just never root for the Braves. One, I don't think he's a bad guy now, but we went to a showcase. I don't look like it no more. I was actually a pretty decent athlete growing up.
Woo!
I was in very good shape back in the day.
What'd you play?
Baseball and football. I was a catcher and center fielder.
What about football?
Defensive end and linebacker.
Okay, I can see linebacker for sure.
This body does not look anything like it used to. I have lost all muscle and size. But
that's what a few drinks does.
Too. Yeah. We was at a showcase. I think I was a sophomore. And Jibber Jones was mean as shit. Like, he was mean. And I was like, I'm never cheering for the Braves again. Like, I don't even want to kind of.
Yeah.
But I've also got some buddies that played some ball close to him, and they say what a wonderful human being he is. So it's like, okay, maybe he's just having a bad day. I mean, maybe like everybody's had a bad day. Yeah. So like, I should probably change my opinion on him.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So coming from Georgia, what are some of y'all's favorite country artists? Maybe not necessarily Georgia people, but people you guys grew up on and guys that you like listening to.
My diehards are I got four or five just diehards. Keith Whitley will always be one. Paycheck, Johnny Paycheck, George Jones, George Strait.
The legends.
Yeah, like those. But that's what I listen to, though. Yeah. Like, my old lady hates that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't listen to... Y'all think I'm playing... I don't know a new song. I'm playing
kind of... Who's the newest artist you listen to?
Brett Cherokee. Cole Goodwin. Zach Tom.
Cole Goodwin.
Yeah. Will Mosley. If I don't say that, he's going to kill me. Yeah. Riley Anderson. Yeah, dude, I'm so weird about music. Just because, like, if it doesn't... It has to connect with me. It can be anything.
Absolutely.
It can't just be... I don't listen... So, like, in radio, there's a thing called... It's literally background noise.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you will hear the same song on radio over and over and over again throughout the day. Because the way they set shit up in radio, because they don't plan on you actually listening to it.
Yeah.
This background noise. And that's why a lot of it's just noise. It's just, it doesn't tell a story.
Yeah.
So, like, the stuff that I listen to usually tells a story. It's like a mini movie. And that's about all I listen to. I listen to some shit that nobody else on the planet, I feel like, listens to anymore. And, like, I have a playlist. It's called it's literally the greatest country music playlist. I know that everybody's probably got that playlist in their phone or what titled is that playlist. But you go listen to mine, and you probably want to jump off this roof out of sadness.
Yeah.
And this is the happiest thing in the world to me.
Yeah. We just had Jake Worthington play at our store at Lucasian.
Oh, he's so fucking good.
Yeah, and one of the things he said, he came in and he goes, man, Lucasian's always got, they got Keith Whitley and George Jones on the radio, and that's what makes me love this company. Just, I walk in and I hear that music playing.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
George Jones reincarnated.
100%.
His voice, I could see how people who don't love country music would be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And then I could see how the people that actually love country music ought to be like, oh my God, let's go.
This is Jesus.
Like, we've been waiting on this. I like him and Zach. At the fact that we're getting them at the same time,
it's
stupid.
Oh,
yeah,
it is,
and there's some women too. Like there's some people absolutely. That are coming up right now as far as women go, because that's really where y'all wouldn't get it with me. Sad Girl Country,
yeah.
Hey, he's been enough. My right, you play me some Sad Girl Country songs,
absolutely. Yeah.
Shit,
dude. I'm a big fan of Lacey K. Booth out of Texas.
So me and her dad are friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
So her dad reached out to me. It's like two plus years ago on TikTok. And I don't know how we found each other or how he found me, but he's like, man, I'm gonna send you some videos of my daughter. And I was like, okay, this is starting off weird. But he saw I did like rounds and stuff or whatever. And his daughter never reached out or whatever. I think this is right when she started blowing up. She did a movie and everything.
Okay.
But she never got back with me. But first, as soon as I saw her videos, and I was like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. She is so good. What I think he did was he sent stuff to a lot of people and then stayed in touch. Super nice dude.
Yeah.
Super, super nice dude. But, yeah, she's an animal. What's that Hannah girl's name that Cole introduced me to? Is it Hannah McFarland?
Yes.
Yeah. She's an animal.
She's good. Court. Mm-hmm.
Court Taylor, of course. Fuck her. I hate hearing her talk. She was with me all day yesterday, too. That's one reason I feel like shit. I love her. There's a bunch of them. Aaron. What's Aaron's last name? Kirby.
Kirby.
Yeah.
I love Aaron Kirby's voice. There's a lot of them. Allie Colleen.
So are you a bigger fan of Megan Maroney or Elle Langley?
That's two different animals. It's apples and oranges. it is. Yes. It's so hard because, like, my daughter has made me a fan of Megan. Mm-hmm. Plus, her lead guitar player and me are really close.
She's a Georgia girl too.
Yeah. So Riley Lowry. Riley Lowry and me go way back.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys. So he actually just gave us, me and my daughter, tickets and like passes and everything. We're gonna be with them. Him and we get to meet Megan for the first time in May.
That's so cool.
Me and him have known each other 10 years. Like, he's one of my oldest friends in music. And she's really, I didn't know that I was going to like her, because from the outside looking in, you see this dolled up princess and these short dresses and big boots and all this kind of stuff. And you're like, I don't know if I want to listen to this. Yeah, it looks kind of Swifty. And then you hear her music and you're like, oh.
She got some bangers.
This is badass.
Yeah.
She's got a song that this is really crazy. This is full circle moment with her, and I can't wait to tell her this story. She got a song called Fix You Too with Cameron Marlowe.
Mm-hmm.
First time that song was played was at my round. Becca Ray wrote it.
Wow.
I can't remember who Becca Ray wrote it with, but she played it at round. And she tells a story on my round that somebody is fixing to cut it. She doesn't say who.
Yeah.
It was. But this was at the old Live Oak. This is like way back. This is like shit. It's one of the first shows I did. And it ends up being that it was Megan Maroney.
Yeah. And yeah, I feel like kind of cool. Like Morgan Wallen and Megan Maroney is kind of the same way, where her underrated songs are some of her best, in my opinion. You know, songs like Wonder and, you know, like. Those TikTok songs, yes, they're good. Don't get me wrong, but she has some other stuff that's good.
There's
this
depth to her stuff, and then Ella, I've hosted two, I've emceed and hosted two of her events, maybe just one. I know one in Alabama, and I've met her a couple times through Trey Lewis. Me and him are close.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But I'm not like super close with her or anything. But she's a fucking animal. Her stage presence and her songs, like, she's one of those that I can turn on in the car and I'm like, okay, she's a badass. Yeah. Her stuff, she's just a gangster.
She reminds me of the actor from Smokey and the Bandit, the girl.
Sally Struthers.
Yeah.
she's an animal. She's one of those that I love, a badass woman anyway, like in music. Because I'm not, like, I do a lot of the sad girl country songs, but I had Allie Colleen on my show a couple years ago, and I was telling her, like, the Ashley McBrides of this world, the outlaw women type of shit, the Morgan Wades.
Mm-hmm.
I love just a woman who just doesn't take shit,
kicks ass,
and then just goes after it. And that's what Ella is.
And that's what I feel like that's why Lainey is so big now. But why I found her so cool when she was coming up is, you know, she didn't sit in with the chick camp. She sat in with Luke Combs, Ray Fulcher, and Drew Parker. And those were the guys she was writing with. She wasn't writing with chicks and girls.
Well,
she's
one of her friends is somebody I very much admire, Farron Rachels. And Farron's been on the show and wrote some of her songs. And like Casey is, I always say her name wrong. It's Casey Tisdall or Tyndall, Megan Patrick and all of them, Jenna LeMaster. They all came up together.
Their whole camp
and everything, but they're all badasses. Even the women that any of them were with, they're not like the poor pitiful me. They're all like badass.
Yeah. No.
So it's like, yeah, there's all this badasses.
Yeah. I just remember hearing a story, you know, that Lainey Wilson had a camper parked out back of one of the places down on Broadway, and she had a write with Luke Combs that day. He had come in, sit in her camper, and they wrote, and it was just like us sitting here, you know? It's like, no one gives a fuck about us, but at the same time, there's some people that do, you know?
Well, the thing with everybody, nobody gives a fuck about you till they do. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a podcaster, if you're a musician. It doesn't matter. If you're talented, you just have to have the mindset that if you're not being acknowledged, it's not that you're not good. There's a lot of my buddies that are, and a lot of people that I don't know too, that I admire, that just haven't been acknowledged yet. There are some people that I look at and you can see it coming.
Yep.
It's just a lot of people give up before they get there.
Yep.
Because they get frustrated. Yep. You can see it written on their face that one of the best guitar players I have ever been around gave up. He gave up. He quit. He moved back to Georgia. And he's like, his music just broke him. But if he'd have just grinded it out and he would have just realized, hey, I got to do what I got to do until I can do what I want, until I get to do what I want to do. Like, you got to take some, you got to take your blows. You got to get knocked down.
Yeah.
It's hard because nobody cares. Nobody cares. But once they care, they never stop. Okay. If you're doing what you're supposed to and you grind and you grind and you grind.
You grind.
They'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do it the right way, you got, but it's also, like I said, if you stay on brand and you do shit the right way and you build up and you have that foundation that you're supposed to have and you build up all these people that are there with you, you ain't got to worry about, you ain't got to worry about falling.
Yeah. It's a that balance of, you know, have being professional, but also being a good friend, you know, at the same time, you know, dude, it's going on over an hour now, and I appreciate y'all coming on.
Yeah,
it's, absolutely. It's been a great podcast, great conversation here. We'll definitely have to do it again. Go check out Josh Terry podcast, Podunk Perspective, the whole thing. Thank you guys so much
anytime,
for coming
on. Anytime, dude. Anytime.
Seriously, it means a lot. I really do appreciate it. Podunk Perspective, till next time, we'll see you.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.